GalaxyCon Live is the place for you to hear about fandom from the celebrities who bring geek culture to life. Welcome, friends and fans, to another edition of GalaxyCon Live, where we are bringing the convention experience directly to you. And today, we are going back to Beach City with the cast of Steven Universe. So without further ado, let's grab our flip-flops and meet our guests. Our first guest is an actress whose credits include Final Fantasy VII, Advent Children, Lou and Lou, Safety Patrol, and Happiness is a Warm Blanket, Charlie Brown. Today, she joins us to discuss the role of Connie. Please welcome Grace Rolick.
Hello!
Hey, hello!
So happy to be here.
So glad to have you here. Grace, how are you?
I'm doing good. Just trying to stay cool, you know? It's a scorcher out here today.
Oh, where is out here? What
out here is Los Angeles, California. Sunny, okay.
I'm on the same latitude line as you, oh, Orlando. Yeah. So yeah, I'm feeling it. We had a longer spring than we usually have, so I'll take
that.
It.
Is true. That is true.
I will absolutely take it. Well, so glad to have you here. And again, great job as Lucy.
Thank you so much.
That's a harder character to wrap a head around than people realize.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was such a challenge. I mean, probably 10 or 11 when I recorded that role, but it was so fun watching all of the old Peanut specials to really try to emulate the original voice. And they are very particular about wanting it to have that like sort of like grounded, naturalistic cadence of children. So
they talk like kids and blackhead, you know.
Yeah
Absolutely. Well, Grace, once again, thank you for joining us here today. Absolute pleasure to have. And next, she is an actress whose roles include Barney and Friends, Monsters at Work, and The Ghost and Molly McGee. Today she joins us to discuss giving voice to Amethyst. Please welcome Michaela Dietz.
Hi.
Hey Michaela, how are you?
I'm like coming straight out of the 90s with this hand gesture. What is up?
Oh, let me go grab my print shirt in the garage.
Yeah, we're getting into it.
Absolutely. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, thanks for joining us here.
Oh,
no, absolutely. Thanks for joining us here today. And again, great job on McGee. Dana Snyder is a great friend of ours here at GalaxyCon. And so just so glad to see you guys bouncing off each other in that series. And it's a great series in and of itself.
Thank you so much. Dana is hilarious.
Yes, I will not do my impersonation of him because he is like Christopher Walken and just some other people. You meet him once and everybody does the, hey, no, I'm here. Well, Michaela, thank you so much for joining us here today. Absolute pleasure to have you here. And of course, thank you for taking us back to the 90s and the sparkle. And next, she is an actress and singer whose work on stage and screen includes Doc McStuffins, the Second National Tour of Miss Saigon, and the Emerald City Tour of Wicked. Today, she joins us as the voice of Pearl and her various permutations. Please welcome Dee Dee Magno.
Hi!
Hey!
Hi, everybody!
Oh, we're all whooping it up. Okay.
Woo-hoo. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for joining us here today. I'm loving the big, is that a cheeseburger pillow?
Cheeseburger backpack. Yeah.
Oh, backpack. Okay.
Yes.
All
yes.
Right.
It has many layers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, So we were talking earlier, you have a really good theater background as well too. And you were in that production of Wicked, and that was a big deal. That was the first tour outside of Broadway, wasn't it?
It was. My husband was on the show first, and then I was touring with him as wife and mother of our newborn baby. And when our first born was about 18 months old, a part for Nessa Rose came available. I auditioned for it, and as they say, you know, the rest is history. And I got to play Nessa Rose in this amazing production of Wicked. It was really, really fun to do.
Oh, absolutely. And speaking of fun, I imagine Steven Universe was fun for all of you. And for that, let me all welcome you once again. Thank you for joining us here on the GalaxyCon virtual stage. Our team is going through the chat rooms right now, pulling out the questions for you. In the meantime, I just have to say this on behalf of myself and our audience. This series, a GLAAD Award, a Peabody Award, several Annie and Emmy nominations. This series is and will always be hailed as a benchmark in animation and inclusion within animation. And I thank you all for being a part of this. And if Rebecca was here, I would thank her and so many wonderful, talented people in on the microphone, behind the microphone, doing the storyboards, and even Cartoon Network for taking a big chance on this and sticking by it in the end. So thank you all. I thank you for your talents. I thank you for your professionalism, and I thank you for the performances you brought to these characters.
Oh, that's so kind of you to say. We're so grateful to be part of a show. I always say I can't take any credit. Rebecca and her team has been amazing, and it's all her you know, brain that created this amazing show. Yeah. So I feel very blessed and very thankful to be a part of it.
Same. And it's so funny. Whenever I always ask her, like, how did you know that we were going to be such good friends? Like, all of us. I mean, she really put together such a great crew, you know, behind the mic, and I guess that would be us. And then on the other side, you know, and
on the other side of the booth.
Really? Yeah. I mean, it's really been an incredible exploration and friendship, and we've really evolved together. Now that the show's over, it's so sad not to see everyone on the regular, but you know, we're still very much in each other's lives. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so nice. Like, I feel like that, like, sort of family dynamic that really comes through the characters on the show really feels so organic and nice as a result of just how well we all get along.
And that's not as common as people think.
Well, also because a lot of other shows, you know, talent will go in and record individually, but it was really important to Rebecca to have that chemistry in real life, like reflected in the performances. So we did tons of group records.
I've been glad that around the early the late 90s, early 2000s, that a troupe style recording for animation began to come back, and they really relooked at it and said, there's value in this, that there really is. And it's just having somebody to bounce off of right then and there. It's just, it's always going to be better. And again, you build that rapport. Speaking of going back to people always ask this question all the time, and I always transpose it. So instead of asking, did you always know it was going to be a success? When did you all realize that Steven Universe may not only have hit expectations, but when did you begin to realize that it may have been exceeding them?
San Diego Comic-Con. I mean, being invited to San Diego Comic-Con was like a huge, big, big deal. I didn't even know what San Diego Comic-Con was about, but I had a bunch of friends who had been going every year. And when I had said something like, oh, I'm going to be going to San Diego Comic-Con with Steven Universe, and they're like, what? You're going to San Diego Comic-Con? I thought that was pretty. I was like,
Wow. That's amazing. I think, you know, pretty early on, we saw the feedback and just the really intense amount of love for the show online. And I think, so from the very beginning, we saw how much this meant to people. And it felt like kind of a smaller group, but it was just so intense that I think we all were like, oh, whoa, this really resonates with people. And, you know, and then once it sort of like caught on and other people started watching it and writing up about it, I mean, it only got, you know, only got bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I agree. Like from the beginning, we had this very like passionate fan base. And I think for me, I really noticed it at like the end of season one, when the jailbreak episodes came out. I remember seeing the reception to that, and especially like the songs with the Estelle saying Stronger Than You. It was big.
I think also because it's still affecting people today. New watchers, new people who are new to the show and they're just discovering it for the first time. It's still sort of, you know, it's still floating around and people are still talking about it and still being moved by the episodes and the artwork and the music. So it's I'm just grateful. It's still alive, everybody, even though it's over.
and that's
it's really not.
And that's a very good point. A lot of fandoms today, when the show is completed, I'm not gonna say it evaporates, but it really kind of goes down. And that has not happened with Steven Universe. It's still going, and it is still palatably thriving. It really is. And again, that's a testament to the show and what it meant to people. And because of that, again, yeah, new people say, oh yeah, there's a show a couple of years ago, Steven Universe. Oh, you gotta watch it. You gotta watch it. Here you go. You know, and
there's so much content out there right now, live action and animation. And we're starting to see all of this because, you know, during the pandemic, animation was one of the only parts of the industry that was like kicking. Yeah. And because people, you know, were able to work remotely. And so to piggyback on what you're saying, Patty, like, it's great that the show isn't just like a flash in the pan, but often, you know, even some of the best shows, it just kind of like, it's just quickly replaced by another. And I think this all circles back to what you're saying earlier, like this, the world that Rebecca created, the characters she set up, their dynamics and the representation, it has become such a like point of influence for a lot of other shows. I mean, you see it in the breakdowns too, you know, when I'm auditioning for other things, they've clearly been influenced by, you know, Rebecca and the world she created.
And story and character still came first.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really a key to this. All the characters, again, the diversity and the LGBT friendly nature to it. It was always, we're going to tell a fantastic story. We're going to tell a fantastic story with these wonderful characters. And that's always the secret to the success of all these things. And that's always been the hook. And yeah, it speaks for itself. So absolutely. So, well, ladies, thank you for indulging my capricious curiosity. We are good to go on to audience questions. So let's go ahead and roll our first one. And here's one from Saul. What do you think your Steven Universe character's favorite genre of music would be?
Also, mine is not a genre of music, but I really think Amethyst would be super into ASMR. Just like people like eating, like,
oh yeah,
people eating very crunchy items and then very like,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely,
like, it personally grosses me out, but I think she'd like the mouth noise.
Yeah. Fair.
That's so good. I feel like Connie would probably like have like very like curated playlists, lots of like sort of underground stuff. She like finds the cool stuff and is always, I could see her sending Steven all of her playlists.
She's the first person in your circle of friends to find that awesome band.
Yeah. Early adopters.
Have you heard these guys?
I think Pearl would be into musical theater. I don't know why. I just think that she might be into musical theater. And then, you know, I think when she's, you know, doing her laundry or doing the dishes, she would probably tune into some soft and easy love song station. I don't know.
Some easy listening.
Like, yeah, the easy wave. Listening.
Maybe the wave.
Ooh.
Maybe
Ooh.
Some worship music. I'm not sure. I think, I don't know, just something calming.
Mm.
But then she could break out the karaoke machine, you know, I don't know, just at any given moment.
Shapoopy, shapoopy. Saul, fun question to start us off with. Thank you. And what do we have next? From Megan, what was your favorite episode of Steven Universe to work on and what made it special for you?
Ooh. Well, my favorite I always say is the Mr. Greg episode to work on, just because I love that it was so musical. But I just, you know, I love that song. It's over. So that would probably be my first answer. There's so many. I like Steven and the Stevens too.
Yeah.
Classic. There's a bunch to choose from, but I have to say Sworn to the Sword was one of my favorites to work on, because I didn't know when I started the show that Connie would become this warrior this swashbuckling star. So it was really awesome to sing with you, Dee Dee, and also just, you know, pick up a sword and start swishing.
Harry, Harry,
swish away, baby. Not an episode, but it kind of felt like one long extension. Was, you know, Steven Universe the movie, that was such an exciting thing to work on, and we got to see friends who we hadn't seen in a while, and, you know, Rebecca and Ivy and Sarashu, like they and Jeff Liu too, and Jeff Ball, I mean all the musicians, like just some amazing music. And so anytime I get to be in a room and like just harmonize with so many other people in there, it's like, I don't know. It's just such a special day when we're all like sitting in one room singing together. It's great.
Nice. Very nice. And there you have it. Megan, great question. Thank you. And what do we have next? From Solara, what are some of your favorite hobbies?
Oh,
I can go. I yes. During the pandemic picked up gardening, and that has been super, super fun for me. Right now, I just like last week planted some spicy peppers. So I'm growing jalapenos, habaneros, and this I found this one spicy pepper seed. It's called Sugar Rush Peach. And so we'll find out. It's supposed to be sweet and spicy, but that's been my new thing. You can catch me in my garden. I've got my gardening Crocs, and I'm tilling the soil.
I am a big fan of the chili pepper in all of its forms. So yeah,
I really want to make some like salsas and hot sauces.
Are you gonna pickle any of them?
I might. I'm gonna have so much. Hopefully, fingers crossed. If my harvest is bountiful.
Seems like the big thing now is making chili oil.
Yeah, that would be fun
to do. That's
the new trend. Tell me.
That's the new TikTok cooking trend. They're like, we're gonna make a chili oil omelet, and we're gonna do a chili oil BLT. I've been seeing it.
But they make the chili oil?
Yeah, some people will make their own chili oil, or some people will use like the pre-made kind or whatever. But chili oil seems to be the new. It's the mango salsa of this year.
Oh gosh, Michaela, you go.
Okay, well I'll tell you. This is sort of a cheat, but I just have to confess. My favorite thing is to look up pictures of animals that I'll never get for myself, but that I'm like really interested in. And one of them happens to be a bearded dragon. It's a thing that I like. I just like looking at pictures of bearded dragons because I have a friend who has one. And
really?
Do you want to take a look at one? Okay, let me one just a moment.
I do. I really do, Grace. I really, really do. Ooh, I wonder what's behind the cool.
Could it be? Blend. Could it be a bearded dragon?
Whoa.
Monty in the house.
Monty.
Where am I? Hello.
Monty.
Everyone.
How do you keep
your beard so immaculate?
So this is, the camera's flipped. I'm like, which way do I put her? This is Montgomery, or Monty for short. She is my bearded dragon. My other hobby is taking care of her.
Aww.
I'll let her chill on my leg, just out of frame. I think I got her in like December 2019.
All right.
Yeah. So we've been together for a few years now.
I think I remember being like, what's new, Grace? And you're like, well, I got a bearded dragon. Like, think, you know, nothing new. But I got a bearded dragon.
I wasn't quite ready to commit to a dog. So yeah. I was like, oh, low maintenance pets. And of course, Monty is not completely the lowest maintenance. If you heard any scratching or running around coming from my square, she was dashing back and forth in her tank. I think she heard the excitement and wanted to be a part of it.
She wanted to be on camera. Oh, goodness. Well, you guys, I feel like I got two boys. I am a mom of two sons and two boys, and they keep me very busy. So I feel like I've sort of, you know, latched onto their hobbies. Whether it's wrestling or ROTC or a little bit of baseball here and there, where I'm at right now. I think I need to find my own little thing. I took up, you know, I like to play the ukulele every once in a while, but I really need to get back on that and you know, find a little bit of time. I think when the summer hits and school is over, I'll have to rediscover some of my old hobbies.
The green toy. I'm wondering if I have it here.
Are you looking for your bearded dragon, Patty?
I'm looking for my CD of ukulele hits.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
You can jam out for a bit.
Yeah, I don't think I have it down here. No, I don't.
When you find it, you got to send me a snapshot. Snapshot. Okay.
All right, I will. But yeah, it's a compilation of like 50s and 60s ukulele singles. And,
oh, I love it.
Yeah,
love it.
Someone called it the ukulele.
Ukulele.
Yes.
Ukulele. Just came back from Hawaii, and yes, they do say ukulele.
I'm sure they are, but as a howley, I just go
ukulele. Ukulele, ukulele. Grace, wait, what happened to Monty? Can you just let Monty just roam around?
Yeah, she's just on my chair right now. I was gonna see if she wanted to climb the chair,
I just wasn't sure.
She's an independent woman.
Yeah, she's
I would expect nothing less.
Yeah.
She's like, I make my own money. I put a roof over my head.
Wait,
I work for me.
Under a door or anything like that. She can't.
No, she's not. Well, actually, maybe she could. She stays in the tank if there's no supervision.
Got it. Got it. There she is.
Keep an eye on her.
She's climbing away.
Mm-hmm.
I see you, Monty.
Just in
the corner. Well, there we have it. Solara, thank you. That was a fun question. What do we have next? Here's one from Yilda. I hope that pronounced that right. Ooh, does everybody have a favorite cuisine they would like to go on record?
I love Japanese food, specifically sushi. I'm like a sushi hound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love me some good sushi. Yeah. But I'll honestly eat anything. I'm really adventurous. I have been on like a Greek food kick recently.
Ooh.
I just got this recipe for like a lemon chicken soup called avgalemono, and then
it's so good.
I'm really excited to make it, but
it's like viscous, which sounds
yeah, because you like it's the like skin a, some, like of a thick egg. Like, yeah,
oh, that's so good.
But I love everything. I've been really into Korean food recently too. Been eating a lot of sundubu.
Oh yeah, you have.
Yeah.
You got the flatulence to prove it? Yeah.
Love my soups.
I love food. I, unlike Pearl, I love to eat. From cheeseburgers to Korean to Japanese. I like all of it.
They're like, what's your favorite type of cuisine? And Dee Dee's like, the edible kind.
Yes.
I love anything edible.
Yes.
Love it.
Tastes good.
Well, Dee Dee, with two teenage boys, I imagine it's...
out of the house.
So if you could just cook something just for you, what would that meal be? Yeah.
What I would cook? I when I cook, it's like more like a easy peasy, what everybody will like. So when I go out to eat, I'll go get something that I don't really normally cook at home.
Sure.
I love to eat, you know, the Korean barbecues, the Japanese, the sushi, the things that I don't normally make at home.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you have it. Big fan of sushi as well. And when I turned 50, I said the best thing about turning 50 is that I can now ask for a fork.
I'm 52. Thank you.
Wow, you look great, Patty. Great.
I didn't know you were ageist. Come on, man.
It just makes it easier to lower it in the soy and just you know.
Oh, you mean for sushi? You use a fork for sushi?
Yes, I'm a barbarian. I admit it. You know.
No, use your fingers then. Just hand sanitize, wash your hands, and then use your fingers. Isn't that what they do?
Yeah. I often, like, if I'm getting, like, you know, you're at the bar and they serve you, like, mostly I eat it with my fingers.
Yeah. Like, forget the fork.
All right.
I will do that.
Wow, we just utensil shamed Patty.
it's okay. It's okay. Let me see how that works on my next date. Yilda, thank you. Great question. And what do we have next? How's your Tinder date? He ate with his fingers.
You can use a fork if you like.
Honestly, I think you'd get a weirder reaction eating sushi with a fork. I'm sorry.
I do eat it with the sticks, but there's sometimes you get somebody at the table orders one of those really big fried crazy Americanized sushi things that really doesn't exist, but it's like, yeah, it's just too big to flop around. So that's what I'm just like, all right, I'm a status.
I hear you, Patty. I hear you.
So there you go.
So you get out your pitchfork.
Yes, exactly.
you gotta shovel it in, you know?
You can eat like Filipinos and they use a spoon and a fork.
I love that.
They use a spoon and a fork. They scoop they put it in the spoon. They've used the fork. And put it onto the spoon, and then you've got a spoonful of food, and it's easy peasy, and it's clean.
This panel is making me so hungry. I swear. All right, Lyra, thank you. Fun question, and we have one from Anonymous, which wants to know, what do you think is the best combination of crystals for your character?
Ooh, like for their energy? I mean, amethyst, definitely an amethyst. Cause it like, it's cleansing, it like balances. That's a great thing about being on this show. I've learned so much about crystals. Oh, excuse me, I'm gonna sneeze.
Bless you.
Sorry. Sorry. I'm in the garage, it's really dusty. Yeah, sorry. Amethyst would be into amethyst.
Well, Pearl is into crystal. So,
but like, what would Pearl be into? I don't know enough about crystals.
You, when you said that, I was like, oh, I didn't do my research.
Yeah. Well, I think for Connie, you know, pink diamond or, you know, rose quartz, you know, and either of those two are the most up her alley, probably.
Fair.
Are diamonds crystals?
I mean, they're gems.
They're gemstones, and they're part of the show's mythology, and so.
I haven't studied up on my rock science.
Yeah, I did like go to this very like hippy dippy fair once with my friend, and she like had writer's block, and this woman convinced her to buy like, she spent so much money on crystals, and she was like, because the woman's like, listen. You just like, she read her energy and then like convinced her to spend so much.
My mom just got me a crystal the other day. Let me see if I can.
Yeah, what is it?
I actually have it at the ready. It is blue calcite. It's actually really pretty. I'll show it off. I feel like I'm doing show and tell. This is
what what's blue calcite do?
Oh, wow.
That's beautiful.
It says blue brings calm and needed rest to the carrier.
Love it.
Ooh, that's pretty. It kind of looks a little bit like the amethyst is purple though, right?
This is amethyst.
Ooh, look at us with our gem.
It has cleansing properties.
Oh, well, this is pearl. I'm not going to show my nails. I didn't do a manicure.
I thought you were going to pull out your like, this is cheeseburger. This cheeseburger also very cleansing.
has filling properties.
Yeah. The carrier shall feel satiated.
Yeah.
Anon, there you have it. All right. Fine question. And let's roll another. What do we have from Sleepy?
Okay.
If you had a chance to hang with your character, what would you do for the day?
We would go and do some laundry and then sing a little bit of karaoke and maybe do some sword fighting. I don't know. Maybe.
There you go.
Yeah, I would want Connie to teach me some of her moves. But, you know, I love reading. I love books. Maybe we'd hang at the bookstore, go to the library, go check out some stuff. But, oh, or go roller skating. I would definitely be down to go roller skating with Connie.
Wait, can we all go roller skating?
I want to go roller skating.
Let's do it.
I should. It's so fun.
All right, stock up on some toilet paper, maybe.
I feel like Amethyst and I would like go grocery shopping or like hit up a buffet and then like maybe just go troll some people on the boardwalk. I don't know. Ooh. I mean, have a water balloon fight.
That sounds like fun.
And then everybody go to the all skate.
Yes.
Oh, there you have it, Sleepy. Fun question. Thank you. Oh, what do we have next? And here's one from Trent. What was everybody's most positive, memorable fan experience? I'll just adjust it like that.
Well, I remember when, oh, and forgive me, I forgot the name, but there was a proposal that happened at the convention in Atlanta. Do you remember that?
It was Michael and Ren.
Michael and Ren, yes. And they were from, well, Ren worked at Cartoon Network Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
So that happened at MomoCon in Atlanta.
That was amazing. So sweet.
Wait, can I blow up your spot for a sec, Dee Dee?
Blow it up. What? What do you mean?
Okay. My favorite fan experience was being backstage at Comic-Con in San Diego. And we were all in an elevator together with people from like another show. We happened to be like crossing over or whatever. And seeing Dee Dee like visibly, like just like drooling over the fence. She saw one of her favorite celebs in the elevator. And wait, what's her name again? You know who I, oh, fart. Kristen. Wait, why am I having a, I'm like brain farted. This is the worst story ever. Just Kristen Bell. Dee Dee was like, left your, oh, okay. She was like, oh, I left. No, sorry, okay. Like, that was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
I'm so funny right now.
She's like, hey girl, oh, no, oh, you're busy. Okay, oh, sorry.
Okay. Oh, hey girl. I did take a secret selfie with Kristen in the background. So
you're like, everybody gather around. And then you like point it right at her.
Gotta get those sneaky selfies sometimes.
So many famous celebrities at these conventions. And it's hard. I get very, you know, starstruck. So, you know, yeah, I have to behave.
No, you don't.
I do.
Maybe you inside, but in like looking at you on the outside, you're always like, hey, good to see you again. And I'm like, oh my God, how do you know him? And you're like, I don't. Like to a guy from Lost. I'm like, what? How do you like, you seem so confident. I mean, to me, you seem so confident.
It always tickles me at the green rooms at our shows to see people go up to others. I'm sorry, I'm such a fan of yours. And I see actors go up to wrestlers from the 80s. Be like, I watch you all the time. I see people, you know, go walk up. And it's such a crop. And just, yeah, I saw Peter Capaldi, a guy who played Doctor Who, go up to the cowboy from the Village People, completely geeking out. And said, wait, you're the cowboy from the Village People, right? Oh, can I get a picture with you? Yeah, just, yeah. It's that's what I love seeing that at the shows, you know.
It's so cool. We're just all people, you know.
Wait, how did he know he was from the Village People? I would never.
Because when he goes to the shows, he dresses in the cowboy outfit.
Wow.
Oh, we've had him at a casting GalaxyCon. Yeah, Randy Jones, the cowboy for the Village People. And he dresses the part. And he's a complete sweetheart. And I adore him. So.
Is that hard when he's at cons by himself? He's just like, He's like, I wish my friends were around. It's just men.
He gets the audience to do it with him.
Mm. Oh, I love it.
That's, yeah, he brings people up the audience.
I like this YCA.
That's funny. So Grace, what was your best fan experience you grew up?
That's a great question. I definitely remember the proposal. That was really, really fun. I mean, every time you go to a con, you just have so many amazing people that are coming up and sharing their favorite moments with you. And sometimes you're able to have like really genuine conversations about how the show has affected their life. And so it's really hard to pick, but you know, it's just been amazing to be able to share Steven Universe. And every time I get to go to a con, having that chance to connect with someone individually and really just take a moment with people is really special.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Trent, great question. Thank you for that one. And what do we have next? And here's one from Lilith and Kai. Does anybody have any upcoming projects that they're allowed to talk about?
I can't talk about one of them, but I am excited.
Definitely,
there is something.
Yeah.
I think you're allowed to say that you have something, but you can say, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, there's one I can talk about. I'm on the next. I'll be in the season 2 of Fairfax, which is coming out this summer. It's on Amazon. It's animated. Woo! I play a church girl named Jennifer Park, who you saw in season 1, and you'll see her again in season 2. But the other stuff that I'm working on right now, I'm so excited about, and I so cannot tell you about any of it.
Wow. Fair.
Super excited.
Yeah, I can't mention anything that hasn't already been announced yet, but as far as what I've been working on recently, I've been doing a lot of video game stuff, which has been super, super cool. I got the chance to be the latest radio DJ of the Fallout series and the Fallout Wastelanders expansion of, I think, if you're walking around the post-apocalyptic space and you put on the radio, you'll hear me introducing some oldies, which was really, really cool to be a part of. And that's already out, which is super exciting.
During the pandemic. 76?
Yeah, it's Fallout 76. Okay, yeah. It took me, I was like, it's 76, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And get it wrong, say like 74, and they'd be like, she doesn't know what she's talking about. but I played so much Fallout. Video. It's true. I played so much Fallout New Vegas during the pandemic, so it was really, really awesome to be able to then go and record that and geek out. So it was very fun. And then also have some other video game stuff down the pipeline that I'm excited to talk about.
Lots and lots of efforts.
Yes.
Those efforts. I also have some fun video game things that I've been working on over the pandemic too. I've done some voices for some Netflix things like Dogs in Space, and I just recently did a Filipino mom voice for Craig of the Creek, which my son actually voices Tomon in that series, which has been so fun for him. My youngest son has done some voiceover too. So that's exciting because we're like, you know, like my kids are getting involved in voice acting as well. And then there's a couple of other things that I'm working on that I'm really excited to share once I'm able to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we will all stay glued to all your social media outlets for when you are allowed to talk about that. Lilith and Kai, great question. Thank you for that. I think we have time for one more. So let's see if we can go out on a really fun one. And this comes from Hope. If your Steven Universe characters were in a band, what would that band's name be?
Oh my goodness.
Rocks and Roll.
The Gems. No, wait, that's been taken. Gosh. That Rocks and Roll is amazing. You can't top that one.
I was thinking Monty and the Three Gems, but
ooh.
Hey.
I feel like Amethyst would just throw words together like Teabag Munch Apocalypse. You know, it'd be like it's very like or just be like your mom. Like, she'd just be like, yeah, your mom.
That'd be a great band name. I would listen to Your Mom.
Your Mom.
Yeah, that nice. Nice.
Juvenile and amethyst. Like?
Jim Jams. Jams.
Woo!
Jim Jams.
Yeah, all right. This is a good one. Well, Hope, there you have it. Ladies, this has been an absolute delight. Any final words before we take our leave?
Thank you. Thank you, Hattie.
Thank you. Thank you.
It has been so fun chatting and answering questions and showing off this lizard lady here.
Sending love and virtual hugs to everybody.
Ladies, it has been my absolute pleasure to serve you once again. Thank you for joining us on the GalaxyCon virtual stage. Thank you to our audience for joining us. And as always, thank you for those great questions. Hope to see everybody again soon. Until then, bye-bye, take care. And remember, friends, smiles are free, so spend them often.
Yay!